Chapter 30, Part 2. Yudhishthir delivers Bhima and the serpent Nahusha. On the first day of their stay at Vishakhayapa, Bhima went to explore the area. Armed with a bow and sword, he wandered at his pleasure throughout the woods, which were frequented by Gandharvas and Siddhas. The trees rang with the sounds of exotic birds, and those trees bore fruits and blossoms of all seasons. Bhima saw clear rivulets flowing from the mountains, creating large transparent lakes filled with lotuses. Wild boars rushed at Bhima, and he killed them each with a slap. He also slew numerous buffaloes and deer, piercing them with his sharp arrows. Because Bhima possessed the strength of 10,000 elephants, he sportingly uprooted and broke many large trees, thus clearing areas where rishis could later dwell and perform sacrifices. Bhima struck his arms and roared exultantly as he roamed about. Elephants and lions would flee in fear when they heard his roars. The ever-proud Bhima, devoid of fatigue, filled the skies with his shouting. He crushed mountain peaks simply by kicking them. Ranging along the mountainside, he would see large serpents retreat into their caves as they heard him approach. Bhima pursued them along the rocky plateaus. Suddenly, he came upon a terrible-looking serpent resembling a hill. It lay coiled at the mouth of a great cave, entirely blocking the entrance. The serpent's skin was yellow with black spots, and inside its yawning mouth were four fangs. As the snake glared about with its copper-colored eyes, its forked tongue licked the corners of its mouth. Bhima stopped and gazed at the serpent. Why, it looked like a grim destroyer as it lay hissing, as if to reprimand him. As Bhima came close, the snake suddenly seized him and entwined its coils around him. Bhima felt his strength draining from his body, and despite all his efforts, unable to extricate himself. Bhima trembled and fell unconscious for several minutes. When he returned to consciousness, he considered his predicament. Who was this being? How had it succeeded in overpowering him? Again, Bhima tried to exert himself, but found that he was unable to move. Clearly, this was not an ordinary serpent. He decided to ask the creature who he was. O best of serpents, kindly tell me who you are and what you will do with me. I am Bhimasena, the son of Pandu and the brother of Dharmaraj. Why, with my bare hands alone, I have slain in battle countless lions, tigers, buffaloes, and elephants. Why, not even the celestials can stand against me. How is it then that you have succeeded in overpowering me? Is it by virtue of a particular science or a boon that you possess such power? The serpent's voice was solemn. O mighty armed one, I have been hungry for a long time, Therefore, it is my good fortune that you have arrived here. You must be the food ordained for me by the gods. Now listen as I explain how I came to live in this serpent body. My name is Nahusha, and I am a royal sage. After attaining heaven, I was cursed by Agastya Rishi and fell down to earth as a snake. Thus, you are my descendant, but that will not stop me from eating you, O hero. Whatever falls within my grasp during the middle of the day, be it a cow, a buffalo, or even a human being, it becomes my next meal. Agastya promised that whoever I seize will lose all his strength. Thus, you have been overcome by virtue of that sage's power. Agastya also told me that I would be free from his curse when someone could answer my questions. Questions about the relationship between the soul and the Supreme Being. Thinking of Krishna, Bhima replied, O mighty creature, I am neither angry nor do I blame myself for this calamity. For a man sometimes may succeed in his endeavors for happiness, and at other times he fails. Certainly the results are not in our hands, and therefore one should not lament his misfortune. Who could ever be superior to destiny? Destiny is supreme, and exertion made for material gains is useless. Bhima said that he did not grieve for his own impending death, but he did feel sad for his brothers and mother, for they depended on him and would surely be deprived of strength and energy when they would discover what had happened. And then Duryodhan would rejoice. Meanwhile, back at the Pandavas' camp, Yudhishthira was perceiving ill omens. Jackals howled, and the dreadful Vartika bird, with its one leg, one wing, and one eye, circled overhead. It screamed and vomited blood. The wind blew furiously, and the four directions seemed to be ablaze. Yudhishthira felt his left eye and arm trembling and his heart palpitating. He looked about the ashram and, not seeing Bhima, asked Draupadi, Where is my powerful brother? Draupadi replied that Bhima had been out quite some time. Alarmed, Yudhishthira decided to go after him personally. After instructing Arjuna to guard Draupadi and the twins to protect the Brahmins, he began to search for Bhima in the forest. Following his footprints, he soon found the smashed trees and the beasts that Bhima had slain. Yudhishthira also saw a trail of bushes which had been blown over by the wind coming from Bhima's body as he ran after game in the forest. Yudhishthira moved as quickly as he could and soon came to a rough place where Bhima's tracks seemed to end. The ground was dry and full of thorny bushes, stumps, and gravel. Strong winds gusted around tall, lifeless trees. Yudhishthir began to make his way up the steep incline toward the plateau. He sensed that his brother was nearby, and he scrambled up the slope. Soon he came to the serpent's den. There, at the entrance to the cave, Yudhishthir found Bhima wrapped in the serpent's coils. Yudhishthir was amazed to see Bhima being held by a snake, and therefore he asked, "Who is this best of serpents with a body as big as a mountain? How have you fallen into its clutches, O son of Kunti?" "This is the royal sage Nahusha in serpent form. O worshipful brother, he plans to eat me." Yudhishthir then addressed Nahusha, "Kindly release my brother, O energetic one. We shall satisfy you with some other food." Nahusha moved slightly. "I have obtained this son of a king for my food, and I will not release him. You should leave this place, or else I will eat you tomorrow. The sage Agastya has granted me a boon that whoever comes within my reach will become my food. You are also within my reach. I have not eaten for a long time and will not give up your brother, nor do I want any other meal." Feeling pain to see the plight of his brother, Yudhishthir thought carefully. This being was not actually a snake, but a great king and ancestor of the Pandavas. Yudhishthir had heard of Nahusha many times. Nahusha had performed numerous sacrifices and had become the emperor of the earth before finally going to heaven. After ascending to the higher regions, he was cursed to fall down again. Perhaps there was some condition to the curse. If Nahusha could be freed from his serpent form, then Bhima could be released. "O snake, under what conditions will you free my brother?" "Intoxicated with the pride of wealth and power, I insulted the Brahmanas," replied Nahusha. "I was thus cursed by Agastya and brought into this miserable state. But the sage stipulated that I would be released when I would find a man capable of answering my questions on spiritual subjects. This, then, is the only way by which your brother can be freed. Answer my questions, O sinless one, and free both Bhima and me." "Ask whatever you will, O serpent. I will try my best to answer." Yudhishthir was always glad to have the opportunity to speak about spiritual matters. For him, this forest exile had provided a welcome opportunity to hear from the rishis and engage in deep study of scripture, free from the pressures of affairs of the state. Yudhishthir had acquired an almost unrivaled knowledge of the Vedas. He listened attentively as Nehushta began to speak. Fixing his narrow eyes upon Yudhishthir, the serpent said, "Tell me, O king, how can we recognize a true Brahmana? And what is the highest object of knowledge?" A Brahmana is characterized by the qualities of honesty, purity, forgiveness, self-control, asceticism, knowledge, and religiosity. The highest object of knowledge is the Supreme Brahman, which can be known when one has transcended all duality. The qualities you have attributed to Brahmins are also found in other classes of men, Nehushta replied doubtfully. And how can anyone exist without experiencing happiness and distress, which is the basis of all duality? Yudhishthir smiled. It seemed the snake was already quite knowledgeable and was merely testing him. If one finds these qualities in any man, then he should be known as a Brahmana, no matter what his birth may have been. Happiness and distress in relationship to material objects can be transcended while still being experienced, but only in relation to the Supreme. Material emotions are but perverted reflections of original spiritual feelings. Nehushta was satisfied with Yudhishthir's answer, but he asked him to elaborate further. What was the use of dividing society according to caste if such divisions meant nothing? In reply, Yudhishthir explained that due to the intermixture of social classes, it had become difficult to ascertain a man's exact social status. Only by examining one's actual qualities could a man's class be known. Thus, society should be divided on that basis only, not on the basis of birth. Nehushta then said, "O King, you are clearly acquainted with knowledge. How then can I devour your brother?" It was obvious to Yudhishthir that Nehushta was himself highly learned. After all, he had once ruled the earth and had ascended to heaven after being instructed by the sages. Yudhishthir thought it would be worthwhile making inquiries from such a great personality. Folding his palms and standing before Nehushta, Yudhishthir then said, "I too regard you as one possessed of superior knowledge. Please instruct me, if you will. By what acts can one attain heaven?" O Bharata, in my opinion, one can reach heaven by giving charity to Brahmanas, by being kind and gentle in speech, by truthfulness, and by remaining non-envious toward all living beings. Yudhishthir then said, "Which of those acts do you consider the best? And what exactly constitutes non-envy?" Each of these items can be considered superior or inferior, depending upon circumstance. One must therefore understand the ultimate goal of life in order to know how to act properly at all times. This you have already explained, O King, that all acts and knowledge should be aimed at achieving the Supreme. Non-envy simply means always desiring the welfare and advancement of all living beings rather than to exploit them for one's own pleasure. In particular, one should desire the spiritual progress of others and act to assist them in that progress. Yudhishthira then asked, "How does the soul accept a material body, O Nahusha?" "The soul or Atma receives bodies according to one's own behavior. Thus one transmigrates life after life, impelled by his or her sinful and pious actions, sometimes going to heaven and sometimes moving about in the body of an animal. Final liberation is attained only when one comes to know the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth." Yudhishthira nodded. The sage's answers were in accord with what he had learned from the rishis. Clearly, Nahusha had deep spiritual realizations. How then had he become a snake? Nahusha replied, "By sacrifice and asceticism, I became so powerful that I coursed through the heavens on a golden chariot. I became emperor of the wide earth, and even the Gandharvas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and all the inhabitants of the three worlds, even the rishis, paid me taxes. Such was my power that I withdrew the energy of anyone simply by looking at them. But then my pride overwhelmed me and I lost my good sense. My knowledge became covered by the ignorance born of pride. I ordered the Brahman sages to draw my chariot and thus offended them. One day while in heaven, I touched Agastya Rishi with my foot. The sage then cursed me, and I fell to earth, my body changing into that of a serpent. In accord with Agastya's words, however, you have now freed me from that curse. My discussion with you has reawakened my knowledge. I now realize that my real interest lies in cultivating Brahminical qualities and spiritual knowledge, not in material status or opulence." Nahusha released Bhima, and the serpent body immediately died. From out of it, the two brothers saw a glowing celestial figure emerge, wearing golden ornaments and beautiful garlands. He bowed before the Pandavas and then rose into the sky and disappeared. Yudhishthira and Bhima returned to the ashram and recounted the incident to the others. When Yudhishthira had finished, the Brahmanas reprimanded the now sheepish Bhima for his rashness in having challenged the serpent and warned him not to be so foolish again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.